Robert Weissert. Welcome to It's About Florida. You are the VP of Research for Florida Tax Watch. Tell us briefly, what is Tax Watch? What is your function? What do you guys do?
Well, thank you, Lynn. It's an honor to be here. And Florida Tax Watch is a independent public policy research institute and government watchdog. It's a nonpartisan, nonprofit, private entity. We take no government money, so no taxpayer dollars are involved. But our mission is to improve taxpayer value, really enhance government on the theory that it is the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, and works best when we have citizen involvement and engagement. For more than three decades, Florida Tax Watch has existed looking at statewide entities and issues, and we're the only statewide entity that looks at taxation and budgeting issues throughout the state of Florida.
You know, you guys have been around. You talked about 30 years. Recently, we've had a lot of other groups pop up. You know, as you guys see more and more groups kind of get involved with some of the same issues that you guys are involved with, how do you distinguish yourself from the rest of the pack?
Well, absolutely. I think that one of them is the test of time. Tax Watch has been around for 3.5 decades now. And the other one is our track record, the number of things that we've done and the depth and breadth of issues that we look into. Tax Watch is probably best known for the Budget Turkey Report. For nearly three decades now, we have combed through the state budget, and we're still the only group that does anything like that and publishes a list of individual projects that the governor should look closely in exercising his constitutional responsibility of line item veto, which is something that we particularly think is important in making Florida such a strong fiscal position as a state. And we have been through the recession compared to, say, the federal government, where there is no line item veto. But a number of other groups don't have the research background that we do. We have PhDs and master's degrees, experts in education and healthcare, in economic development, in criminal justice reform, in certainly taxation and budgeting, and really a professional group of people that are dedicated in an independent, nonpartisan way towards improving Florida state government. I think that's what really separates us from everyone else. But certainly, we welcome all comers to the sphere of public debate. Government of the people works best when the people engage in it. So certainly there's a lot of other groups that do it, some at the local level, some at the state level, some from the left, some from the right. And as a nonpartisan group, we always feel that it's important that we not refuse to work with anyone, but mm-hmm. that we work with everyone. So we have publications where we come out with very far left groups, very far right groups, academic groups like the Leroy Collins Institute here in town, local groups. Sometimes national groups like Pew Center on the States will come in and be partners with Florida Tax Watch. So that's really has been our guiding force for many years.
And recently, the governor signed the budget this week. And right before he signed it, you guys came out with your annual list of budget turkeys. For people who don't know the term, what is a budget turkey?
The best way to describe a budget turkey is a process, a project, or an appropriation that has circumvented the traditional budget appropriations process. That is to say, it was not scrutinized as much as other state spending. They're typically local projects or projects without a statewide component, that would be regional projects, that were inserted generally during the conference process, which is part of the budget process in a larger sense, but is at the very end of it and bypasses the subcommittee process, bypasses the agency work plan process, bypasses the governor's recommendations process. And all of those are opportunities for public scrutiny. There are times for the stakeholders or people with knowledge about it, for regular citizens and taxpayers. There are times for the agency or for other elected officials to stand up and say, why that project and not this one that is needed in my community? Or why that project over spending on per student, you know, more funding for education or from classroom teachers or for providing health care to Floridians, all mm-hmm. the other things that could be done with this money. There's no opportunity. These projects weren't subjected to that level of scrutiny. So Tax Watch comes out with a list of these projects that circumvented the process. And we ask the governor as the last step in that process to exercise his line item veto. And really what we call upon the governor to do in this case was to closely examine these projects, to really scrutinize these. So not necessarily to veto every single one, but to really scrutinize them. And then there were a number of other projects in the area of water projects, economic development projects, educational and enhancement projects, and the coast-to-coast bikeways trail, where we called upon the governor again to just look very carefully at those. And if the governor got the assurances that they were consistent with state priorities, then they shouldn't be vetoed. And if they weren't, then they should be vetoed.
When you look at kind of the pattern of turkeys, this year there was only about $110 million worth of projects that were identified. That's a lot less than there have been in previous years, especially considering the legislature actually had a bit more money this year to spend.
It's a great point, and certainly something that Tax Watch has said from the beginning in the Turkey Watch report. And as we rolled it out, we did commend the legislature and specifically Appropriations Chairman Negron and McKeel for putting together a budget that was relatively turkey-free. Now, let's put that relative terms, that's $100 million of taxpayer money. So it's a significant amount, but it's also less than one-half of 1% of the total state budget, which, as you mentioned, $74 billion, the largest state budget in the history of the state of Florida, and a time for the first time in many years when there was a surplus. And that's something that came up a number of times, especially legislators who have been around the block before, some of those who are back now after their original stints of 8 years and term limited out and are back, and talk about how this is much more like the old days when there was extra money to spend extra. I should put in air quotes because it's all taxpayer money. Somebody had to work and earn that money in order to send it to Tallahassee and be dealt with by their elected representatives. So certainly the legislature deserves not only credit for putting together a good state budget, but also the deference of being the elected legislature who's constitutionally charged with putting together a state budget. And there's only actually two things the Constitution requires of Florida's legislature. One, an annual state budget, and two, every 10 years, a redistricting map. So that's what the governor came into this with, and that's where the vetoes are looking from. But overall, $108 million, $107 million is smaller than some of the past years. In 2006, it was almost $300 million. In 2007, it was over $250 million. Mm-hmm. Even in 2011, Governor Scott vetoed a significant number, but there were over $200 million in budget turkeys that year.
You know, I've seen the budget, right? It's laid out in conforming language that is long, it's convoluted, it's dense. You've got bills that amp up, you know, for each part of the budget, there's a 100 and some odd page bill that goes with it. How do you dig through that and find those items? Like, what is the process for searching for them? Because I would think that it would be kind of like looking for the needle, you know, in the haystack.
That's really exactly what it is. And what we rely on is experience and expertise. So we have people who have experience in state government and experience doing this, and we have people with the expertise to do this. So we're looking all year. We're preparing. We read the governor's budget carefully, the work plans through the agencies that come out. We Tax Watch staff attends every appropriations and sub-appropriations committee meeting. So we're there following the entire process. So when that 500-page document gets published, it's not the first time that we've looked at it. And I think you're right. A lot of people don't know how the state budget works or even what it looks like. And that's
because it's not listed line by line. I mean, you would think
complex.
That it's going to be a budget that would have, you know, public schools, X amount, this, X amount. But it doesn't work that way. You get dollar amounts that are written out as words in conforming bill language. So it's, you know, $2.5 million spelled out as going toward blah, 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 in the midst of this 500-page bill.
And the budget conforming bills is an interesting one. Last year, we had more than 40 conforming bills. Mm-hmm. And those are substantive legislation that goes along with the budget that changes law in order to have the budget implement certain things. And that also makes the turkey process a little more complex because something that goes as substantive legislation along with a budget appropriation may or may not be a turkey. It doesn't automatically make it not a turkey, but it's a pretty good sign that it's not unless there's some timing issues. Things can be added to the budget before they're passed as substantive language. So, but for the most part, those are pretty nitty gritty details. And obviously, budget turkeys. What I equate it to is it's like calling balls and strikes. We're you know, an umpire that calls balls and strikes. And anybody who's a baseball fan, there's some really obvious calls. There's the easy calls, but there's a lot of tough calls. There's some ones that are right on the edge. Yeah, exactly. There are ones that are right on the edge. But we have a lot of experience and expertise and a lot of people people weighing in on this. A lot of people we reach out to, an extraordinary number of people, especially here in Tallahassee, with knowledge of these specific issues, and we talk through it and we get feedback and we make the best call we can. And I know the governor's office, and I have to give them an extraordinary amount of credit. They not only work with us, but they work extraordinarily hard at that. And the governor's office of policy and budget and his extraordinarily professional staff work very hard to also come up with a similar kind of process. It's different. The governor has his own whatever governor it is, has his mm-hmm. own criteria, and TaxWatch has our criteria. But our report is ultimately part of their consideration, and we appreciate him and the staff for that, and we will continue to do so.
Do things slip through the cracks?
For the budget turkey process, certainly mm-hmm. not. We certainly try not to. I think it would be arrogant to say that nobody ever makes mistakes, but certainly not. No, we haven't had anything this year where we had to go back and correct it. But it is possible. There can be simple typos. A zero gets forgotten in something, so it doesn't change anything. It can be a typo. There also are times when information doesn't come to light mm-hmm. that we, you know, reach out to all the appropriate people and we speak to the right people, but for some reason they don't mention something or something comes to light afterwards, and that has happened in the past. Again, there's certainly people who disagree. I think mm-hmm. one of the most well-known of the budget turkeys that wasn't was the USF Polytech last year. And we've said, you know, repeatedly that wasn't a turkey, and two reasons. The one reason it wasn't really is that it didn't fit the criteria. It wasn't inserted in the budget late in the process. Mm-hmm. So the fact that everyone knew about this almost by definition makes it not a turkey. Now, that's not actually the definition of turkeys, and that the legislature discussed it carefully and it was substantive legislation. It was signed by the governor. Certainly wouldn't be a budget turkey.
Let's talk about that too, that, you know, the merits of a project are not factored in, because I think that, you know, some of the 2/3 of the projects you guys identified as turkeys also ended up being vetoed. And that kind of raised the ire of Senate President Don Gates, who pretty much blasted you guys in that email. And he talked specifically about some of those water projects and the water projects themselves. Talk a little bit about the worth of a project, because, I mean, that has been something that has, you know, ruffled feathers.
Certainly. And the budget turkey process is about the budget process, not the project. So it's not about the worth of the project. And the main reason for that is if we were looking at the value of an individual project, then we would simply be, as TaxWatch, substituting our judgment for the legislature's. The legislature was duly elected on behalf of the people of the state of Florida to put together a budget. There's no reason why we should substitute our judgment of the value of a project for their judgment of the value of a project, which is what they do when they put things in the budget. However, what we can do is say whether it abided by the process or not, look at whether it was subject to the public scrutiny, whether it went through the subcommittee appropriations process, whether it was recommended by the governor, whether it was recommended by the agency, whether it's part of a work plan and where it is on that work plan. Because sometimes budget turkeys will be on the work plan, but they'll be, say, 3 years out. That there's 15 projects that entity wants funded this year, 15 next year, and 15 the year after, and this is in that third year.
That was the subject of a budget veto for Florida State University. I believe there was like a $5 million item for a maintenance project, and it said this money was listed as a third-year priority. And so, therefore, I am vetoing it. I mean, that came from the governor's office. Would that be an example of what we're talking about here?
It would be. But again, just because it's not – that is not enough to make something a turkey, just because it was on the third year. But that's exactly what you're saying. I think that's where some misunderstanding with mm-hmm. all respect to the Senate president, some misunderstanding came in, that the way that the process was described was as if TaxWatch looks only at what the agency has come up with. I think it was described as what faraway bureaucrats determine as the priorities. And that's not true. It's just if it is on that project, if it's high on that project list, it is not a turkey. But if it's not on that project list but it is requested by the governor, or like the coast-to-coast connector, the bike mm-hmm. path, it was in at the very beginning of the Senate process. From the opening part of this, there had always been this money put aside. So that's not a budget turkey because it was subject to public scrutiny, even though it was a legislative-created project. Now, with that specific item, it actually was on the greenways and trails, but that wasn't what kept it from being a turkey. What kept it from being a turkey was that it was very openly done by the legislature. Mm-hmm. It didn't come in at the 11th hour. It didn't show up in conference. It didn't jump from, say, $300 million to tens of millions of dollars in appropriation. It was what it was from the very beginning. And everyone had a chance to stand up and say this is a good thing or it's not a good thing. And that's what we're really, really doing with the budget turkeys, because also certainly – and again, to give credit to the governor's staff, I'm sure after the budget turkey report comes out that the governor's staff gets calls from people who want to defend the value of these projects. And you know, again, I feel badly for them if that adds to their difficulty. But at the same time, that's what it's intended to do. It starts getting some citizen feedback. So if citizens want to come in and say why this is a great thing or a bad thing, that's the kind of public scrutiny that we want to subject these things to. So that's another function of the budget turkey process.
Devil's advocate here for a minute. What about the concept of the legislature's prerogative, right? I am the legislature. I am the lawmaker, even though this is probably not in an agency's request or even in the governor's request. I, as a representative of my community, deem this to be important, and therefore it should somehow be in the budget. Isn't that a valid argument? It saw lawmakers' eyes. All lawmakers voted for the budget. It sat on their desk for 72 hours. You know, the majority okayed it. It is in the budget.
Absolutely. And I think the budget turkey process does give a significant amount of discretion to the legislature. As we say, these are processes that were created by the legislature. So that's what we're judging it against. They set the rules and we're just judging whether they follow the rules or not. So to that extent, certainly it does give deference to the legislature. Second, we're talking about $100 million out of $74 billion. So I think if you're saying we're not giving any discretion to the duly elected legislators, I think that's a false argument. But I think it is also important to address the very point that you're making, that lawmakers saw it and everyone voted on it. There's 160 lawmakers that represent the 19 million Floridians. And the governor, with the line item veto, represents all 19 million Floridians. He's part of that process and he does the line item veto. So I think that needs to be made. But also, with the legislators voting on it, I want to quote from the grand jury indictment that came out a few years back. And at that time, a speaker of the House of Representatives.
Former House Speaker Ray Sansom?
That would be the one.
Okay.
The quote is, quote, "The appropriations process that gives unbridled discretion to the President of the Senate, Speaker of the House, and Appropriations Chairman needs to be changed." And it goes on. But the basic point of it is the budget turkeys that come in during the conference process come in with only a few legislators agreeing to them, and then the budget comes back to the full body and cannot be amended. So there is a 72-hour cooling period, and TaxWatch is very in favor of that and was part of the instituting that, so it wasn't voted on at the last second. So there's an opportunity for people to review it. Now, it's a 500-page document, so that can be a difficult thing, as we talked about before. But really, the chance – something that gets slipped in at that late process, the body as a whole is not a check on that, because the body as a whole would have to vote down the entire state budget in order to get these $100 million in appropriations out of it. And then the process would simply start over again with the same people doing the same things.
And we'd be here till June.
And we, exactly. And so what was set up by our Constitution is that the governor comes in with the line item veto. TaxWatch comes in at that point too and identifies these projects that skipped the process. And you know, that's a citizen engagement at its very finest. That is us not accepting that government is inherently right. That is citizens standing up and saying we have a right to be heard in a representative democracy, in a government of, for, and by the people, and we're going to exercise that constitutional freedom to tell our government we don't agree with this. And now it's the governor who has the constitutional authority to do the line item veto, but it's TaxWatch that also has a responsibility to all citizens to stand up with an informed opinion and provide it. I think certainly anyone who stands up in the public square should be informed about what they're doing. They should put in the time to know what they're talking about and to be balanced in what they're saying, not simply spouting off anything they want, although certainly that's a constitutionally protected freedom as well. But I think that is an important part of our democratic republic, that people have the right to tell their government. And government should be afraid of people. People shouldn't be afraid of governments.
Let me ask you this question. In your report, while you guys didn't outright call them turkeys, you did call out several of the water projects that were listed. And we've looked at some of the projects, and you know, they are pretty much in some very low-income areas of the state, very rural. People are communities that just don't have the tax base to try and do $1 million sewer upgrade. But here's my question. Once upon a time, we used to have a process for vetting local projects. It was called the CBIRs, the Community Budget Issue Requests. And that process went away. So when you're dealing with a situation, you know, like this, where you see some of these projects that are, you know, for communities that probably wouldn't normally get legislative funding, is it time to bring back that CBIR process, to have those things where communities come forward and say, here is our wish list, and then the legislature goes forth and vets them like that? I mean, we used to do it.
Well, CBIRs or CBIRs are part of a process, and that's a valid solution in some way to saying that we need to have some level of prioritization, because again, that's really one of these concepts that underlies the budget turkey. It's not a criteria issue, but it's a underlying concept that why this local project? Do we know that that's the highest and best use of taxpayer money? It may be a great project. That's not what's at issue here. But is there been any public scrutiny or any selection criteria that determines that this project over all the other priorities that may exist in the state of Florida, over all the other communities that may need something, all the other return on investment that taxpayers may realize from spending in one area, whether it's FSU or a water project, do we know that this is the one that we should use our limited resources on? Because we don't have unlimited resources. And for every project that gets funded, there are many, many that do mm-hmm. not. And that's what we need to ensure, that the legislature and the public money, the public trust, is being put towards the highest and best uses. That's what efficient government is. And that's how we can ensure not only our state will move forward, but our citizens are not unduly taxed and burdened with the government taking by force, because taxes are by force, their hard-earned money. But the water project specifically, there have been statutory criteria, and the legislature discussed having a process where these projects would be heard and graded. Tax Watch attended those meetings. We also reviewed the tapes of those meetings, and we didn't find where that was made public. So we noted that we did not make the water project's budget turkeys, but we specifically noted them in the report and talked about that, and I'm quoting here, recommend that the legislature strengthen and use Section 403.885 of the Florida statutes, which provides for the Water Projects Grants Program, which basically was Tax Watch saying, if the legislature is going to continue, rather than just appropriate a pot of money to water projects to be given out by a competitive selection process, which is one way, not necessarily the best way, just one way, if the legislature is instead going to go in and dictate exactly which water projects receive state funding, then they need to have some kind of transparent and very clear criteria saying this is how we're going to decide which ones get it and which ones don't. And that way every community can feel like, okay, while this is important to us, we understand that by this criteria, this is not the most important project in the state of Florida. There were others that needed to be funded this year. Once those issues are addressed, maybe our time will come soon. But right now, it's much more arbitrary. Why didn't this project get funded over that project? Who knows?
Let me ask you this question. What are your thoughts on some of the backlash that you guys have gotten, both from Senate President Don Gates as well as Senator Joe Negron? Both have been pretty upset at you guys this past session.
Well, Senator Negron, of course, made some comments during conference committee and from the floor about the budget turkey watch process, and I think that really shows that it is something the legislature is considering, as well as the fact that there's only $107 million of budget turkeys. That's not that there weren't local projects funded. There were literally billions of dollars worth of mm-hmm. them. It's that most of the time the legislature is following the process, and it's very different than the way this was, say, 20 years ago when Tax Watch was first looking at these budget turkeys, or 27 years ago actually, when things were literally slipped in. There was no 72-hour cool-down period. There was no internet that could publish these things. People weren't in Tallahassee as much, and stuff really could get in there. The process has changed. It has become much more transparent, and again, credit to those who are part of that process. But certainly, I think Senator Gates and Senator Negron expressed their opinions, of course, and their they are great public servants in what they do. Both of them also have full-time jobs and other lives. They come here to Tallahassee to do their best on behalf of the citizens of Florida. We have enormous respect for both men and for all the men and women in the legislature and in the process and the governor. But certainly they have a difference of opinion. And I would stand firmly on Tax Watch's 27 years of doing this, on the fact that we are standing up for the citizens of Florida and $100 million of money that was appropriated outside of the traditional budget process, outside of the scrutiny. It's taxpayer money. This is real people's actual money that they could have done other things with, and they wouldn't budget that way. So I think that's very important. And lastly, that in a constitutional republic, a government that we have, it is important for the citizens to stand up and get engaged. And a state of 19 million people with Tallahassee as the capital, with a 60-day legislature, with committee hearings that are going on for, you know, a month at a time, it's very hard for the citizens, for many citizens, to really be that actively engaged in their government. And so Tax Watch takes very seriously a role of standing up for people who may not be able to be here in Tallahassee, and even if they were, may not be able to fully decipher the 500-page state budget with the $74 billion, which we certainly can. So I think it is a civic duty. It's a civic duty that we take extraordinarily seriously, and we respectfully disagree.
Well, Robert Weissert, Vice President of Research for Florida Tax Watch, thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure, as always.
Thanks again to our guest, Robert Weissert of Florida Tax Watch. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. I'm Lynn Hatter. Ken Smith provided technical assistance. Please join us again next week for more discussion on the issues impacting our state.